This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack also in studio with you today from Worldview Academy. As we take the Word of God and apply it to every area of life, and God's Word encourages us to teach our children His Word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. It should be a frontlet between their eyes. It should be on the gates. It should be on the walls. And that, my friends, came down in the American public school system in the 1960s. They took God out of the textbooks in the 1930s. They took God off the walls in the 1960s, and now we're looking at brave new schools enforcing racial disunity, enforcing Marxism, enforcing homosexuality, transgenderism. We are looking at a demonic explosion on the scene in the 21st century. Feminism has been taught for 30 to 40 years in American public school classrooms. That's why almost everybody thinks like a feminist today, because it has been enforced. It has been taught very carefully in American public school classrooms and enforced by Title IX funding since the 1970s. That's a no-brainer. Gender equality has been taught and has been enforced on American colleges and American Christian colleges and American K-12 schools for the last 40 years. So feminism has been taught for 30 to 40 years. That's why most of America, with a very, 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 very few exceptions, have embraced feminism. But, Bill, over the last 5 years, an additional political correctness has been imposed on the schools, and that is now they're enforcing racial disunity, Marxism, homosexuality, and transgenderism. I think it's about 100 times worse than it was in the 1990s, and I'm thankful for the hundreds of thousands of pastors in America that are warning their congregants about what is going on in the public schools.
You really think there are 100,000?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, you think there's really...
Aren't you hoping so? I mean, love hopes all things here, Bill.
Yeah, but you don't... The reality is that it's not very hopeful, Kevin.
Yeah, J.C. Church. You just heard this pastor from Ohio that came out to Colorado Springs and taught.
Yeah.
He said the pastors need to get up and go.
Yeah, he said that most pastors are one gene away from being a woman.
Oh, is that right? That's pretty hard. That's pretty hardcore.
That is an interesting line.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying is that we have been feminized.
Mm-hmm.
We have been, as a population, we've been taught to kowtow to what is politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And not stand and speak and not stand and fight. One of the other things he said, and this struck me, he said, when you hold your grandbabies, he said, realize either you're going to fight or they're going to fight. Either you're going to bleed or they are going to bleed. And that is the role of a parent and a grandparent, is to stand in the gap for their children. And unfortunately, we are feeding our children to the monsters in the public school. And there are monsters with very soft voices, like kindergarten teachers. There are monsters with very pleasant faces who are kindergarten teachers who tell their classes, we've got little Johnny here, and he wants to be called little Susie now, and he's going to dress like a little girl, and we're going to celebrate this.
Yeah, some little 6-year-old girl in California doesn't recognize that. She's pulled into the principal's office and given the third degree, and the zeitgeist continues to flow, and children are being indoctrinated into this insane postmodern world where all bets are off for any possibility of morality or sexual standards.
So pastors need to stand up and tell their congregants, get your children out of the public schools. Do not sacrifice your children on the altar of convenience and the altar of Baal. Do not roll your children down the arms into the burning fires of Moloch.
Here's another story, this time from North Carolina, of students in a K-12 school that were forced to apologize for being white and Christian. Another politically correct school where the children are being trained to a different morality, not a morality based on the laws of God as found in the Old and New Testaments of the Word of God. And it would be good if churches would teach the Word of God. That would be really good if they would teach a little Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. as well as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It would be wonderful if churches would preach and teach the Word of God. That would be refreshing. But now the public schools are establishing their own ethics, their own way of looking at what is right and wrong. It usually involves the violation of the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, the ninth commandment, the tenth commandment, as well as the first, second, third, and fourth. But it is a new morality as established by the political correct zeitgeist of the day, the cultural Marxists of the day. Here's the story. Students forced to apologize for being white and Christian, picked up on newamerican.com, a public uproar at a North Carolina school board meeting over the far left equity training for government school teachers. Allegations were made by furious parents that a teacher forced white and Christian students to stand up in class and apologize for their privilege. One dad at the school board meeting quoted in the story, here's the quote, "When did it become a good idea to attack a child at a school because they were white or they were black or they were straight or they were Christian or because they believed in something moral that they were taught at home?" That's what this dad is asking at the school board meeting. "You see, I teach my child and my two older daughters family values, Christian values. I teach not to judge somebody by the color of their skin, but by the color of their heart. And my child will not be insulted, reprimanded, corrected because he has a good moral fiber." Well, there's a father who stood up, but I'm afraid that the underpinnings of the Christian, of the schools today are not the Word of God. They don't teach the Word of God as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. They certainly do not place the Word of God on the posts or the gates of the school. And we know that they do not put the Word of God as a frontlet between the kids' eyes, such that they run into the Word of God on every other page in the history book, the literature classroom, and every other aspect of their children's education. Of course, we don't find enough of that amongst Christian schools either. That's why we are doing a Christian curriculum project. And you'll find that we are incorporating the Word of God as best as we can on every page, and we are bringing the Word of God to bear in history, literature, and other subjects as well. New curriculum from the Generations Ministry at Generations.org. Be back in just a moment with more. On this subject, friends, we're going to talk about racial equality and how Christians should respond to the guilt complex that is imposed on them by the media and, of course, the educational institutions. Be back with more in just a moment. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack, also with me from Worldview Academy, as we discussed a new term that is part of the doctrinaire that is shared with K-12 schools and with the teachers that are being prepared for the next generation of public education in America. And that term is white privilege. Now, white privilege is another way for Marxists to bring in more class envy. Now, what is class envy? Class envy is a Marxist concept in which the peoples are encouraged to envy another class and to force the redistribution of the wealth and destroy economies, entire nations. And they've already proved they can do that. Just take a look at Zimbabwe. They went after white privilege, quote unquote, did the genocide thing and redistributed the properties in Zimbabwe about 18 years ago. And the GDP went from $8 billion to $4 billion as a result. The economy of Zimbabwe has shrunk significantly, resulting in a desperate situation for the country, widespread poverty, and a 95% unemployment rate. So that's what you get.
Wow, 95%.
Yeah. It's the worst hellhole in Africa, or one of the worst possible economies in Africa. But friends, how do we deal with this? Now, I think what's happening is people are concerned about differences in income. That's the first thing. So let's talk about differences in income. The poor you will always have with you. This is what the Word of God tells you. And God has given it to some to be rich and some to be poor. It is a matter of the sovereignty of God that he gives some the power to gain wealth.
And poverty really is a relative term.
Well, that's true, too.
What we consider to be those who are living in poverty here in the United States would be rich in countries like Zimbabwe right now. And so, yes, there are going to be those who have more and those who have less. It is not we should redistribute the wealth. It is that we should give equal opportunity to those in a society where those who are privileged by having wealth are not privileged by law, or those who do not have wealth are not privileged by law either.
The best governments can do is to stay out. And when governments favor one industry over another, when governments favor a national bank, for example, that's the point at which the government is playing favoritism. And favoritism is one of the sins of the civil magistrate that is very clearly condemned in the Old Testament. So the federal government is not to tax its people over about 10% of the people's income, and they are to tax equally, poor and rich alike. That's Exodus chapter 30. And governments are not to play favoritism with one business over the other. So that these are basic principles we find from the Old Testament and the New Testament, by the way. And there ought not to be wage controls either. Jesus gives the parable of the householder that provides a certain pay scale for those who started working at 8 o'clock in the morning and a different pay scale for those who began to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Jesus says that the householder can do what he wants with his own resources. So these are principles that the Word of God brings to us in no uncertain terms. So we begin with these principles and we allow for differences in the amount of wealth and income accumulated by one person over another person. So the differences in income and wealth is a matter of God's sovereignty. And when the sovereignty of the state steps in order to enforce certain income equality or wealth equality by way of graduated income taxes and so forth, they are playing favoritism again and again and again. And this, my friends, is what encourages class envy and the violation of the 10th commandment and the 8th commandment, by the way. Now, here's one of the things that I think the schools are trying to do. The schools are trying to deal with guilt. Now, I want you to understand that unbelievers and those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have been enabled by the Spirit of God to see truth, man in darkness does not handle guilt very well. Man cannot deny guilt. It is an inevitable consequence of sin, and it is obviously always there because man has a conscience. Now, there are three problems with how the ungodly handle their guilt complexes, and this is what is happening amongst those that are so upset about white privilege and wanting to make all things equal and bring social justice to America today. So man by nature wants to blame shift. He wants to assign guilt for the wrong sins. Humanists do not use the law of God to determine what is sinful and what is not sinful. Now, it's very important for Christians to go to the Word of God and find that kidnapping is a capital crime. To kidnap somebody and forcibly enslave them is wrong. And the Muslim slave traders that, by the way, are still engaged in the slave trade to this day, Muslim slave traders should repent of doing this sort of thing. The people who bought kidnapped slaves should have repented back in the 19th century as well. Thankfully, John Newton did repent. So there were instances in which slave traders repented. So, again, kidnapping slaves is wrong. And Muslim slave traders who are still enslaving people today in North Africa should repent of doing that sort of thing. So again, what am I doing? I'm laying out the Word of God. I'm applying it appropriately as we find these sins being committed in our day. But Ezekiel 18 verse 20 says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." What does that mean? That means that sons today will not suffer and will not carry the guilt of their fathers, the sins that they committed back in the 19th century. So, friends, again, the Word of God is clear here. We don't capture everybody else's guilt. We are guilty for our own sins, not for the sins committed by everybody else. Now, the ungodly are blame-shifting constantly. They're constantly trying to find sins that aren't sins, and they're trying to make people feel guilty for the wrong sins. We must repent of the sins that we commit right now, here and now, the selfishness, the narcissism, the existential self-centeredness of the modern that kills 200 million babies by birth control pills and surgical abortions since 1960. Hey, now there's something to repent of. We repent of our sins. I haven't kidnapped any slaves lately. But how about fornication, adultery, illegitimate divorce, homosexuality, purposefully having children outside of wedlock? Now, that's about 90% of the population. Throw in porn addiction, you're probably up to 99% of the population. Here are some sins to repent of. Or redistribution of wealth, stealing through welfare programs, or countenancing music filled with anger, the F word, fornication, dishonor of parents and civil authority. Friends, these are sins to repent of. Now we're talking real sins. Remember, the liberals are always distracting us from the real sins. That's what liberals do best. Hey, we must repent of the sins we commit right here, right now. Hatred of people for the color of their skin. A refusal to worship with brothers and sisters for stupid cultural reasons like skin color, the way they express themselves, the clothes they wear, or the food they eat. Reticence to worship with brothers and sisters over minor cultural issues, a la Romans 14 liberty issues. Repent of these sins. These are the sins to repent of. See, again, the ungodly blame shift, they guilt shift, they sin shift. They develop their own definitions of what is sinful. Why? Because they're autonomous. They're rebelling against God, and they refuse to submit to His law as the definition of what is right and what is wrong. Man by nature wants the blame shift. Here's the second problem with all of this politically correct guilt manipulation going on in public schools and universities. Second problem. There's no apology to God because they're pretending like they haven't sinned against God. The big offendee are humans. Friends, that's not the big offendee.
No. These people think God is the big offender.
Yeah, they're pointing at God as the offender.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. They're the offenders, yes. And God is the offendee, and they're ignoring that the God who has been offended. And again, friends, this is the diversion tactic. This is the distraction that is produced by the cultural Marxists in the politically correct K-12 schools. There's no apology to God for what they have done. They're blame shifting. They're redefining sin in a different way. And hey, there's never any forgiveness with these people either. These guilt manipulators, there's no forgiveness. No way. These people will never forgive, of course. There's only endless atonement. That usually winds up with genocide, where one race tries to knock out the other one. That's where racism is going. Rwanda, Zimbabwe, that's where this thing's going. It's going to genocide. Why? Because there's always a need for atonement where the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough for them. The atoning work of the very Son of God Himself
is not enough for them. So they're going to make everybody else pay. They're going to force an atonement through a bloody sacrifice, a bloody genocide. This is what man does by nature. When he turns away from the atoning work of the very Son of God himself, there can be no forgiveness. There can be no atonement, but endless human sacrifice, which is what the pagan tribes did for generations, for millennia before Jesus came. And this is what the modern world is coming back to. There's no forgiveness with them. There's no apology made to God. There's no definition of sin by the laws of God as communicated in the Old and New Testaments. And this, my friends, is why we're not paying any attention to what the North Carolina schools are talking about when they talk about white privilege and guilt manipulation. Now, you say, well, how in the world are we going to reconcile? How in the world are we going to ever forget each other? Through Jesus. Jesus Christ is our peace. Until you've been forgiven and you believe in the Jesus who forgives you, you're always going to struggle with forgiving others. And this is what's going on between the races. The reason there's tension between the races in America is there's a lot of fake Christians out there that think that they're forgiving and they've been forgiven, but they're not forgiving and they haven't been forgiven. Until you realize that you owe God $500 trillion, you'll never be able to forgive somebody who owes you 50 grand because they ran over your 2-year-old child in the supermarket parking lot or whatever it was. And until you realize, man, you've offended God to the tune of $500 trillion and he's forgiven you that, you'll never forgive somebody that owes you $50,000 because they ran over your child in the supermarket parking lot and you just simply can't forgive them to this day. It will be the forgiveness of God Almighty through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son that you're going to begin to realize the weightiness, the incredible magnitude of the forgiveness that God has brought to you. And when you realize that, man, you're going to forgive everybody around you all day long, baby, all day long. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Well, friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. I hope this has been helpful to you. We've been talking about racial reconciliation, racial justice, and white privilege. And let's talk about these things more biblically. Otherwise, we're just going to give way to the tension, to the sinfulness, to the lack of forgiveness, and almost the inevitable civil war that will result if the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't make major inroads in this country. We may be following the way of South Africa and Zimbabwe and Rwanda. Unless we realize the forgiveness and the reconciliation that Jesus brought, for he is our peace. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, September 11th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. 16 years ago today, Muslim terrorists attacked the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. The co-anchors of New York Good Day were already talking about the hijacked 767 commercial jet airplane, which had crashed into the North Tower at 8:45 a.m.
It appeared to bank sharply and smash directly, perhaps purposefully, into... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
There's another one.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. There's another
this
one.
This seems to be on purpose.
Oh, my goodness. Now you...
Plane?
Now it's obvious, I think, that there's a second plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. I think we have a terror attack of proportions that we cannot begin to imagine at this juncture.
The time was 9:03 a.m., and the South Tower had just been hit by a second hijacked airplane. Hurricane Irma made its second landfall in Florida yesterday afternoon as it continues to move over southwest Florida and toward Tampa Bay, according to the National Hurricane Center. Just before 4 p.m., the storm made landfall on Marco Island about 7 hours after Irma hit the Florida Keys. Forecasters warned that if the surge occurs at high tide, areas in Tampa Bay, from Anna Maria Island to Clearwater Beach, could be hit by a storm surge as high as 15 feet, reports the Tampa Bay Times. Kirk Cameron, the Christian star known for the TV show Growing Pains and the movie Fireproof, recorded a short video from the Orlando, Florida airport with his take on both the approaching Hurricane Irma and the recent Hurricane Harvey.
How should we look at two giant hurricanes coming back to back like this? Do we write them off as coincidence? Do we write it off as a statistical anomaly? Wow, who would have thought? Is it just Mother Nature in a bad mood?
He dismisses all of those explanations. Instead, he quotes from Job 37:11-13.
He saturates clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. They swirl about, turning around and around at his direction, accomplishing everything that he commands them over the surface of the inhabited world. He causes this to happen for punishment or to water his land and demonstrate his faithful love.
Cameron offered his theological insights into Hurricane Harvey and Irma.
This is a spectacular display of God's immense power. There's a purpose. We may not always understand what that purpose is, but we know it's not random. We know that weather is sent to cause us to respond to God in humility, awe, and repentance. God is the Lord of the wind and the waves. What this should be doing for all of us is causing us to remember that it's God who supplies our life, breath, and everything else so that you and I would reach out to him.
His video has been viewed more than 240,000 times. At least 32 people were killed after a massive 8.1 magnitude earthquake hit Mexico on Thursday, causing cracks in buildings and triggering a small tsunami, reports CNBC. Australia's High Court ruled last Thursday that a national postal vote to gauge public opinion on legalizing homosexual faux marriage could proceed as planned as the ballots are set to be mailed tomorrow, reports Christian Headlines. In the first television ad against homosexual faux marriage, the Australian-based Coalition for Marriage featured mothers concerned about the ramifications if Australians do not vote no.
School told my son he could wear a dress next year if he felt like it. Kids in Year 7 are being asked to role play being in a same-sex relationship. You can say no.
Sadly, a majority of Australians support legalizing homosexual faux marriage. 9 women's colleges now accept men who identify as women, reports Christian Headlines. Spelman College, an historically black university for women in Atlanta, became the latest, announcing last Tuesday it would no longer consider gender during the application and admissions process. Cancer-stricken Christian apologist and author Nabil Qureshi has asked for prayers that God would perform a miracle.
The doctors have pretty much given up on treating me. They think my body is in its final stages of life. They have suggested palliative care. We are just doing comfort measures. For example, right now, the doctors have decided no more calories for a few days. If that means bad things happen, then bad things happen.
The 34-year-old author of Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, who first announced his stage 4 cancer diagnosis last August, did not pull any punches.
It's looking pretty grim. I could really use your prayers. If we want the Lord to come through and do a miracle, it needs to happen in the next few days.
In a blog post announcing his cancer diagnosis, Qureshi shared how his Christian faith has comforted him. Quote, I am so thankful that I am a child of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed in the Spirit. No, in the midst of the storm, I do not have to worry about my salvation, and for that, I praise you, God. Unquote. And finally, A blind woman named Linda Tennant in Henrico, Virginia, has been worried for years that one day she would get hit by a car on the busy roadway where she has to go into the street to open her mailbox, reports CBS 6. But thanks to a good Samaritan named Wesley Benton, owner of Benton Home Improvement, her problem is solved. With his own money, he installed a mailbox with access in the back so that she no longer has to step into the busy road. Benton shared what motivated him after seeing the initial news report.
In 1959, my great-grandmother was hit by a car taking her mail across the street.
Tennant was surprised and grateful.
I'm just shocked. Can I give you a hug for,
oh, certainly.
For doing this for me?
Yes, ma'am. Glad to help.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, September 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.